Good morning. You're listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is Dave Kubikin.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. The phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Debbie. What's going on?
Not much. It's a tough drive from Saratoga to the radio station.
Why is that?
There's a lot of policemen out today.
Well, you don't have to worry about it. You just go to the speed limit. And
set, right? Exactly.
Well, so yesterday felt like spring / summer. Today feels like it's November.
Exactly.
I'm so confused.
Exactly.
Although I saw like more convertible top downs and stuff yesterday. It was nice to see.
I opened my sunroof.
There you go.
There you go. Yes.
Very nice. I took those. We have a guy that plows when there's a lot of snow. And so we have those little orange markers to show where the driveway is. I took them out.
Uh-oh.
I'm calling it.
Ooh.
Ben?
I think it's because you just don't want it to freeze back in the ground.
Well.
Which would make sense.
Yeah. You know, I'm saying there's no accumulating snow.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
When it snows until May, sometimes.
Sorry. Okay. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. I remember like several times at Easter, you know, you have all your Easter outfits on, your cool little shoes and everything with your big boots. Yeah. No, it's not over, Dave.
That's too bad. Well, I'll tell you what is starting.
Okay.
We're starting to see a lot of clients come back from Florida, which is nice to see. The snowbirds are back, or getting back.
They're getting back.
Yeah. Usually by the end of March, they're usually all back, which means that, you know, there's a lot of work that's been put off that they're finally getting around to doing and signing at the office, which is good. You know, I've had a number of clients come in where they're saying at the consultation, we're finally getting around to doing it. We're finally going to become adults and have a will or recognize our mortality or something like that. And the good news is if you don't have a will and you're hearing this, you're still alive, which is good, which means you could do a new will and have
true.
One.
True. Very true.
But these are important things to do. And I know I've had a lot of fact patterns. I think you have as well, where people are either really lucky because they've planned and they've created their own luck, or people are rather unlucky because they didn't do some of the planning and then some bad news happened. And of course, what I'm talking about is getting older and having these long-term care needs and not having a plan for how you're going to pay for those needs. And, you know, we have a lot more options today ahead of time than we do in the moment when you need the care.
Exactly. And I know we harp on this, and it's something that comes up almost every week. We have people that come in and they're, you know, we need to do this, we need to do that. We have, you know, about $100,000 that dad has, and he's in the nursing home, and he's not going to be able to be on rehab anymore. And they're saying, you know, that it's chronic care Medicaid. And then they say, but here's the name of the person that, you know, the nursing home said we could use, or this is the name that we were given for someone to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I go through the figures with them, and I'm like, okay, so that's fine. You could hire that person, but you have to understand they're not attorneys. They can't save half of your money. So here's your choice. You spend down the 100 and you have to file Medicaid anyway.
Yeah.
Or you save half of it and you file for Medicaid. That's kind of a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. But people think, well, they'll do it for free. They're going to do the application for free. So realistically, how much does that application cost you? It's cost you $50,000.
Yeah, except for our consultations, which are free.
Which consultations?
Nothing in life is free besides that.
That's it. Our consultations are free. So you've got to be really, really careful. And again, if there's people that are going into a nursing home, they're allowed to keep how much, Dave?
$15,450, I think.
Exactly. And a car. And they can prepay their funeral. Other than that, the rest of their assets are going to go to pay for their care.
Yeah, I mean, there's some exceptions in case that, you know, you have a house and there's someone living there that's qualified. And there's, you know, there's exceptions. You don't want to have to rely on these exceptions. You want to know ahead of time and kind of plan.
Right. Or sometimes the other people don't know about the exceptions.
Yeah.
So one time I was like, well, the child was like, I've lived there the last 5 years. And I'm like, well, then there's a caregiver child exception. And they're like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
No one told me about that. So come and see us. Sit down. It's free. You can have coffee. We'll talk about everything. And then you can make your decisions. But you definitely need to think about, if you have a loved one that's going into the nursing home, you need to make sure that you protect what assets that they have left. And we'd love for you to give us a call at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590.
You know, we try to talk about a bunch of different topics every week on the radio and when we have these consultations, because we just don't know what's going to apply to the people who are listening or the people that came in. And when they do come in for a consult, we can really narrow the conversation to their fact pattern, their family tree, and their situation, those, their assets, their ages, their ailments. So there really is no duplicating that. But since we have this hour, we might as well try to educate them on some stuff. We also use our seminars as a way to educate, and we do have a couple coming up, two in March, and then a boatload at the very beginning of April before all the holidays. Our most important one, I'd say, is this coming Thursday, March 21st at Glenn Sanders Mansion. That's 1 Glen Avenue. We're going to be talking about aging in place, which is the community Medicaid program and different care options at home. And, you know, I think, Debbie, it's fair to say we've seen the largest increase in clients in this area because, number one, people just don't know it exists. And number two, people really, really, really want to avoid a nursing home, and they keep getting older. So we got to do something.
Well, they want to stay home. I mean, I've only ever had, I used to say one, now it's two, people that actually wanted to go into a nursing home. And both times it was because their spouse was there and they go there all the time. It's like, I may as well live here too. But no one wants to go into a nursing home. It's just not the place where you want to be. So if you can get care at home and you can get it paid for by Medicaid, then why wouldn't you?
I'm sold. You got me. If it was only that easy.
If it was only that easy.
Well, so this seminar will be really helpful. And in addition to one of the attorneys being at the seminar, Kim Hance, our geriatric care manager, will also be there to help explain the whole process. It's involved. It's not something that you do because you heard about it and you just sign up for it and there you go. There's ways to preserve your income. There's ways to maneuver your assets to establish eligibility quickly. And there's no look back period on that program. So I really encourage people to go to that seminar if you can make it, again, March 21st at 2. We also have a seminar in Kingston on March 28th, so the following week. And that topic's going to be wills versus trusts, which is our most popular topic, I guess.
It is.
And there it's do I need a will? Do I need just a will? When do I need a trust? It's complicated. We try to make it simple. And it depends on what's going on in life, but you're going to have lots of options. And if we had our way, you're coming in every 4 or 5 years and adjusting your plan to your needs and to whatever's going on in life. And your family may start with a will and then slowly go to a revocable trust and then maybe to a Medicaid trust. And you should know the whole process and what the differences are. And then I know we're going to have our general seminars in April. So, Thursday, March 28th in Kingston at the Courtyard by Marriott, 500 Frank Sotal Boulevard. That's going to be our Wills versus Trusts down in Kingston. And of course, that March 21st, this coming Thursday, Aging in Place at Glenn Sanders. If you'd like to see that one of those seminars, you can go to and email us at info@herzoglaw.com. You can go to our website and the seminar page and click to register. And you could, of course, call our office at 518-465-7581.
I have. And for those people in Saratoga or around that area, actually on this coming Wednesday, March 20th, at 8:30 in the morning at the Saratoga Senior Center, we are having a pancake breakfast.
Ooh. Mm.
So it's open to the public. It's $3 per person. And I'm going to be presenting on celebrity estate planning disasters.
There are a lot of them.
I know. And you would think that people that, you know, had all that money and had all those people around them, that they would actually have their estate planning done, but they don't.
There are a ton of really important lessons in there. I know there's a bunch with healthcare proxies and or disposition of remains or obviously estate taxes, things like that, probate
Yep, there's a lot of, and people don't even think about it. I mean, one of the classics of the people that actually did everything right, remember Joan Rivers whenever she passed away, because she had the living will, she had the healthcare proxy, and her daughter was, she could make decisions for it because she wasn't coming back.
Yeah.
So that's one of those. That's, again, that's on Wednesday, March 20th. It's at Saratoga Senior Center. And it's going to be 8:30 in the morning. It's a pancake breakfast. It's open to the public. And it's on celebrity estate planning disasters. That one's $3. And you can call the Saratoga Senior Center and make a reservation for that. Other than that, we've got our seminars in April. And I also have a seminar coming up, not this week, but the week after next. Again, it's in Saratoga, but it's at the high school, right? So it's their continuing ed program. And that one is on, it's called the Estate Planning Roadmap. So it's going to be basic estate planning and how to navigate through the correct documents.
Cool. So lots of opportunities. No one has an excuse to be uneducated on this stuff.
No, definitely not.
And if you're listening, you're doing the right thing.
That's right. They're being educated.
So, Debbie, I'm going to ask that we talk about powers of attorney a little bit later on, because I want to talk about a fact pattern that we're dealing with and we're helping clients on. So the client met with me originally, excuse me, about 2 years ago. And I remember the meeting. I remember quite the individual. And he had a house and some assets. And we talked about long-term care planning and Medicaid trusts. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to just do the basics and a will and power of attorney. And I'm very happy he did that power of attorney, because it allows us to do everything I'm about to talk about. But one of his nephews was his agent, is his agent. And he's got a lot of money. A lot more than maybe he thought. I mean, we're talking, if you add up the house and everything, maybe $400,000 or $500,000. And he's in a nursing home. And he's not going to be leaving. Okay? And because he didn't do any planning a couple years ago, our options are somewhat limited. Because he's got a lot more than that $15,000 figure I said. Which means that we need to spend down that money on his care. And then he'll qualify. Or if we can use our expertise to kind of cut that period in half, that would be great. And so that's what we're going to be doing. But you know what? If he was 2, 3, 4 years in and he had done a Medicaid trust, right, we would have maybe said, you know what? We're just going to private pay for this final year and have protected everything. You know, I find clients have a really tough time thinking about their long-term care needs and almost have an easier time with the idea that one day they're not going to be here anymore, and have a harder time with the idea that when they're here, it's not going to be very pretty sometimes. And that's where that long-term care planning comes in. I mean, anyone could have a will that says who gets what. And with beneficiary designations or co-titling assets, you could avoid probate too in a lot of fact patterns. But protecting the assets during your life, making sure those people who you're going to give things to get as much as possible, they have a hard time thinking about it.
Right. Because they're going to spend it all.
Well,
there's not going to be anything.
Not because of that. It's because maybe they don't want to, they think they're going to lose control of the asset and they don't want that to happen. Or maybe because they just, you know, they say, well, I'm never going to be in that nursing home. It's never a choice. You know, if you need it, you need it. If you can't get care at home, you're going to need it somewhere. And so I caution all the listeners. Obviously, I want you to all know that, you know, that one day we're all not going to be here one day. And I don't drive off the road when you're hearing this. This shouldn't be shocking to anyone. But you got to prepare. And it's important to have estate planning documents. But it's also important at some point to shift those documents to be long-term care planning documents that can protect and preserve your assets as you get older.
Well, and you can change them. I think a lot of people think that they're stuck with whatever they set up. Things change. Your life changes. People move in and out of your life. The person that you may have set up as your executor, say your children were young when you did your wills and everything, and so you have your brother or your sister as your executor or the guardian of your children, and now your children are in their 20s and 30s. Maybe your kids should be your healthcare proxy. Maybe your kids should be your executor. You need to relook at your documents. Maybe your brothers and sisters aren't even alive anymore.
Yeah.
You know, people are aging out, and a lot of people did their documents 20, 30 years ago, and they really need to relook at them. We tell our clients they should really relook at their documents every 5 years. And whenever they come in, we look at the documents that they've done. We look at their assets, because their assets have changed in the last 5 years. With the stock market, you know, if you had certain stocks 10 years ago, it may have doubled. It may have tripled. So you need to make sure that you have all that protected.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I hope you don't mind if I talk about a couple of fact patterns I'm dealing with here.
Go for it.
But in addition to this one, you know, the reason why nephew is going to be able to move things around and save half of every dollar, 50 cents of every dollar, and at least make lemonade out of the lemons because the uncle hadn't planned too much, is because we did this power of attorney.
Right.
And it's not just this regular power of attorney that you print online. We added certain powers. We make sure that the nephew can move assets around, can create trusts if need be, can do gifting in large amounts, because in this case, it's going to be a couple hundred grand of gifts that we're doing. The uncle, prior to going to the nursing home, made some gifts to family, right? We weren't consulted in that. Now, we'll make up for it, and we'll have to take care of things, but it's a complicated process. Simple documents don't get it done. Your basic power of attorney, if you're sitting there, you're saying, well, that's great, Dave. That's great, Debbie. I have a power of attorney already. Thank you very much. When's the last time you looked at it, right? What, as Debbie was saying, who are your agents? Do we still like them? Are they still good candidates to represent your interests? Number two, do they have the power to do some heavy lifting and not just paying bills? Because paying bills doesn't help. If you exchange, you know, $400,000 for another $400,000 asset, Medicaid is going to say, great, now you still have 400 grand.
Exactly.
We need to do some gifting, and that's a special power that the new powers of attorney require some extra pages, some extra signatures, and some, you know, you need to be guided a little more.
I don't want to break in here. Well, actually,
go ahead.
But
yeah, get in there.
The phone number here, because Dave and I could, like, talk forever and ever. The phone number here at the radio station, especially Dave, anyway, is 518-476-5900.
I was hurtful, wasn't
it? 518-476-5900. I'm not even going to let her say the number.
Shot right across the bow.
0-0. Or toll-free is 1-800-WROW-590. We'd love for you to call in and have your questions, even though this is very compelling, talking about
Dave's
fact pattern. Again, the phone number here is 518-476-5900 or toll-free 1-800-WROW-590.
Unbelievable. We're educating people. How are you going to learn stuff? You're going to learn from other fact patterns.
Right, but they can't call in if they don't know what the number is.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Very true. So, powers of attorney, guys, if I could put a bow on it for the next 35 minutes, let me just put this bow on. So, it's really important, right? I think, Debbie, it's the most important document we
do.
It
is.
Because it allows all the other documents pretty much to be done and all the other maneuverings to be done. And you gotta, if you're not gonna be proactive in terms of creating documents and getting your trust set up and moving assets around however you need to, at least have a really fantastic power of attorney, because it's gonna allow you to kick the can down the road and give you the opportunity to save 50 cents of every dollar.
Well, there's really only one document that a power of attorney can't do.
A will,
exactly. Power of attorney cannot do a will for you. So I have had calls from people that are like, I need to change mom's will. And I'm like, no, but I'm the power of attorney. I have the power.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Mom needs to change her will.
You know, there's a cartoon that says, you know, they're talking about the superheroes that, you know, Spider-Man got bit by a radioactive spider. And then they say, I got bit by an attorney and now I have power of attorney. Very cool. It doesn't work that way. Dave's not laughing. The cartoon was cute.
I've seen it. It's on your door.
I know.
So I want to talk about one more fact.
Of course
pattern.
You do.
It's a totally different area, though.
Okay.
But really interesting. So family of seven kids, power of attorney, healthcare proxy in favor of some of them. And the kids are having issues about caring for mom. Hmm. And what's the right way for it to happen? And who are going to be the caretakers? And when does care take place? Where is it going to take place? They have drastically different views. scary different views. In fact, that there's concern that depending on who's around mom, they can maybe get documents changed and things like that. Mm-hmm. Mom's not with it. And you know what? When she was with it, she did these really important documents that we're talking about, the healthcare proxy as well. So that way she has picked who's going to make these decisions for her. And it can really avoid ugly situations like guardianships, contested guardianships that we may need to do. And look, in this fact pattern, it's possible, maybe even likely, that if these siblings don't finally agree and get some ground rules set up, there may still be a guardianship that they'll seek. And what we'll have in our corner, what our client will have in their corner is that their agent on a power of attorney. That helps. But, you know, the court may nonetheless look at the best interests of mom and try to figure out what should be the care situation. Things could get really ugly. Obviously, we're never planning for sunny days. I mean, the weather forecast in San Diego, like, that's boring, right? You don't really need to do anything. It's sunny and 75 every day. You got to prepare for the not so nice days. That's what estate planning is all about.
Great analogy.
Yeah,
definitely
you.
A great analogy. I had a couple of gentlemen come in to meet with me this week, and they weren't our clients. They were referred by one of our other clients, and their dad was just placed in an assisted living, and they came in because dad appointed the ex-sister-in-law. So the ex-wife of one of their brothers is who dad had appointed, and she doesn't even live in state. And I said, is there a particular reason why they would have appointed her? And they had absolutely no idea. And I explained to them, you know, if she's not doing what she should be doing for dad, then you guys would have grounds to bring a guardianship proceeding. But if she's doing everything in his best interest, then there's really no reason to bring a guardianship proceeding. I mean, you don't gain anything. Granted, she lives out of state. She kind of flew in, took care of everything, and then just flew back out. I said, does she have open lines of communication? Does she tell you what's going on with dad? Is she making sure that his bills are paid? And they said, well, yeah. And I said, well, then there's really no reason for you to bring a guardianship proceeding. And the whole thing is they're just angry because dad chose her. I mean, you know, and it's like, well, obviously he trusted her at that point in time. And there's no way he can change his documents because he's totally not with it. I said, you guys are kind of stuck with it unless you want to spend a lot of money.
Absolutely. I mean, it's have the documents, have them updated, no doubt about it. You can be our first caller at 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. As we mentioned earlier in the hour, we do have seminars coming up this Thursday, March 21st at 2 p.m. We're going to be at the Glenn Sanders Mansion for a very special Aging in Place seminar. One of our attorneys and Kim Hance will be there, and we'll be walking you through and walking your family members through the aging in place process, how to get community Medicaid, how to get financially eligible, opportunities to protect your income, and then your care options once you qualify. Following week in Kingston on the 28th, Thursday, the 28th at 2 p.m. at the Courtyard by Marriott, right next to Target, 500 Frank Sotile Boulevard. We'll be talking about wills versus trusts. The difference between a will and a trust, obviously. The different kinds of trusts, why you may want one over the other, and how those change and your needs change over time. And then finally, in April, we have a number of our general seminars where we kind of start with healthcare proxies and powers of attorney, work all the way through our Medicaid trusts and some of those crisis plans we can do to protect those 50 cents of every dollar we've been talking about. On April 9th, that's a Tuesday at 6:30 p.m., we'll be up in Saratoga Springs at the Courtyard by Marriott. Wednesday, April 10th at 2 p.m., we'll be in Troy at the Courtyard by Marriott. It's a new hotel right on the water.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
On Thursday, April 11th at 10 a.m., we'll be at Glenn Sanders. And same day, April 11th, a Thursday at 6:30 p.m., we'll be at the Courtyard by Marriott in Albany. Lots of Courtyard by Marriotts.
That's it.
Do we get any discount for that? It's pretty good.
You know, I don't think so, but it's a great location. There's parking, and good cookies, nice coffee. So, you know, it's definitely a good opportunity to come in and listen to us talk about estate planning and Medicaid planning. I had a class this week at Saratoga Continuing Ed, and it was Vills versus Trust. It was very, very well attended, but they started asking questions about basic estate planning. I'm like, yeah, you need to go to the class on the 27th. So a lot of them are going to sign up for the continuing ed class on the 27th at Saratoga, which is the estate planning roadmap, so that they can get basic information, because our wills versus trust seminar kind of focuses on wills and trusts and what is incorporated into a will, what's in a trust, and it doesn't kind of go into Medicaid planning so much.
If you want to see it at one of those seminars, you can call our office, as well as if you wanted a consultation, 518-465-7581. You could email at info@herzoglaw.com, or you can go to our website, herzoglaw.com, go to the seminar page and click register. So, you know, Debbie, I don't know if we're going to get any calls. I think everyone's outside. I'm just running around because it's somewhat nice out.
Well, they're waiting for the parade, right? Isn't there a parade today?
2 o'clock this afternoon in Albany.
Oh, so
okay, so they're not.
That's not what they're doing.
No. Unless the parade was at 9.
There you go.
Well, Anna, we are going to be coming up against the break. I do want to kind of preview some of the things I want to talk about in the second half, though, Debbie. So, you know, we talk about the 50 cents of every dollar. I'd like to talk about how to save 100 cents of every dollar and kind of how our Medicaid trust works in a nutshell. Because a lot of people think, you know, we often will talk about these estate planning myths and things like that. And people will think that, well, I'm going to lose control because you just said that's an irrevocable trust.
Mm-hmm.
And they're wrong, we're right, and we'll explain how that all works. And it's really important because if you understand it, there's really no downside to doing that kind of trust, because not only do you still get to enjoy your stuff, but you get to protect it for Medicaid.
And we'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back for the second half. And good morning, Dave.
Morning, Debbie.
I thought he was going to say something, so I was like, you know, silence.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Dave Kubikin.
And Debbie Verney. And we're here, and we would love for you to give us a call. We didn't have any callers the first half because they were all riveted by Dave's stories. So the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll-free, 1-800-WROW-590. We would love to hear your questions or your comments. And Dave has great questions right now.
Well, yeah. So we were talking at the first half, and we kind of previewed this for the second half, and I think we're going to have a caller in a minute here. But the idea of, well, we talked about why it's important to use attorneys to protect half of every dollar, 50 cents of every dollar, through crisis plans. But ideally, we're saving 100 cents of every dollar. We're a little greedy like that, and we want you to plan in advance. And I think the biggest reason why people maybe are hesitant to do a Medicaid trust is because they think that they're going to lose control on things and lose control of their assets and things like that. So we'll get to that in just 1 second. We do have a caller.
We have Patty from Clifton Park. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning. I was wondering, I've been recently told that if you have a trust, that your home should be on the insurance policy, the house insurance policy.
The trust, you mean?
Yes.
They should name the trust as an additional insured. The reason they do that is if something happened and the house burnt down, you don't want them writing the checks to you. You want it written to the trust, right, so that the money's still protected.
Is that something that your firm would do automatically, or, I mean, knowing that you have the trust and they've done the trust?
Whenever we do an irrevocable trust, at the time that the person signs all their documents, we have a document that we have them sign and give them the original that says, it's actually a letter to give to your homeowner's insurance company that says, I've put my house into an irrevocable trust. Please name this trust as an additional insured on my policy. We have a spot for them to fill in their policy number, and then they would take it to their insurance company.
Okay, thank you. And you mentioned earlier in your program, I missed it, that you were having some meeting on the 20th in Saratoga. What was that about?
The one in Saratoga is, hold on. The one in Saratoga on the 20th is actually at the Saratoga Senior Center. And it's a pancake breakfast that the Saratoga Senior Center is putting on. It's $3. And we're going to be going over celebrity disasters, like estate planning disasters of celebrities that they've done. You know, Prince and Michael Jackson and Buddy Holly and all of them.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Okay,
now.
Bye-bye.
Great call.
Yes, good.
While we wait for our second call, which I know is imminent, let's get back to these trusts and estate plans that deal with long-term care planning. So the name of the game is not just any trust, right? Not just any estate plan, but having what we would call a Medicaid trust. And in order to understand how it works, we really need to understand how Medicaid works, what they look at when you apply, and what Medicaid cares about in general. They don't care about every asset that you own. They care about those assets where you can tomorrow turn it into cash, right? If you can go to the bank and liquidate something, obviously they're going to count that as a resource against you. Same thing with houses, because if I had a briefcase full of cash, I could have your house right now if we wanted to, with a couple exceptions. Same thing for stocks and bonds and brokerage accounts, cash values and life insurance and things like that. So if that's what Medicaid cares about, the fact that you by yourself can turn it into cash, what our trust needs to do is make it so you by yourself don't control and have the ability to turn something into cash. And that's where our Medicaid trust comes in. Because guess what? You're not the trustee of the trust.
No.
It's going to be someone else. It's not going to be your spouse either. Okay, so maybe a child, a friend, someone like that. Nephew, niece. And now the trust is going to exist during your life. We're not saying you're going to need a nursing home one day. No one is saying that. We're saying it's possible, and if it's possible, that result might be really awful financially. So we're doing this just to plan in advance, just in case, which means if you're going to do it when you're 55 or 65 or 75, I got to make sure that during your life you have benefits.
Mm-hmm.
You enjoy the interest and the dividends and the income of those assets that are in there, and that you get to live in the house, and you decide when you're not. What comes with that is you get to pay all the bills.
Awesome.
Of the house. Yeah, fantastic. Congratulations. You're still paying all the taxes. But you know what? If you qualify for the STAR or enhanced STAR, you still...
Or veterans. Exemption.
Veterans, you still will qualify for it, even though the trust owns it. Just like our caller said, right? She was clarifying, the trust now owns the house, right? The trust needs to be on the insurance,
mm-hmm.
property casualty. So we put things into your trust, and we know, and now you know, that you're going to still get all the benefits of owning these things as if it was still in your name. But technically, it's in the name of the trust, and technically, you're not the trustee. And so we combine these things, and Medicaid says, aha, you by yourself can no longer, Debbie, go to the bank and take all your money out tomorrow. And that's true. Now, on the other side, we need to convince our clients and say, look, you still control everything. And you're going to say, oh, wait a minute. You just said, I heard you on the radio. You said someone else's trustee and some other entity now owns my stuff. And you're trying to tell me I could control it, even though Medicaid says and agrees that I cannot by myself turn it into money. And that's where the magic happens. Because in our trusts, under this idea of Medicaid trusts, and we have a third party as a trustee, we rely on New York law. New York law has a statute. I won't go through the details too much, but the idea is that you, the trustee, and the beneficiaries all can agree to do whatever you want to do. Forget the rules of the trust. Forget you're not trustee. Forget all of that. So if, and we call them interested parties, so if you want to pull out large amounts of money from the trust, you have every right to do so. we'll get the signatures of the trustees and the beneficiaries. Dave, Debbie, how does that sound like control if I need other people's signatures? Well, you can hire and fire your trustees and your beneficiaries whenever you feel like it. You always control whose signatures you need. So as a result, you kind of control everything.
Well, I always use, well, there's a couple of examples that I use. One good example is my client, Frank. So you've all heard me talk about Frank.
Yeah, where is Frank?
I don't know. Well, he called a couple weeks ago. Frank called in.
Well, a couple weeks ago and today. Come on, Frank.
So anyway, so Frank, all of his family lives not locally. His brother, who's the trustee, is local. So when Frank decides he wants to take money out of his trust, we amend his trust, take everybody out but his brother, make his brother the beneficiary and the trustee. His brother signs the partial revocation. We take the money out of the trust and then we put everybody back, which is why Frank has so many amendments to his trust.
And it sounds complicated. It's super easy.
It's three pieces of paper.
Super easy. You know? Absolutely.
And another example that I use whenever I do my presentations, it was actually one of Harry's clients that she got notification that, true story, it's Harry's client, that her sister was dying in Italy. And she was like, I want to go see my sister. I want to go see the family. I want to spend a lot of time over in Italy. So she says, I think I want to take $20,000 out of my trust. She had three daughters. One of them was a trustee, so we sent out the paperwork to the trustee and the beneficiaries to sign, and we got it back from two of the daughters. We didn't get it back from the third. So we called the third daughter, and we said, you know, you need to sign this so Mom can take the money out of the trust. And she said, well, you know, Mom's getting older. She's going to die soon. So by me signing this, it's like taking money out of my own pocket. And my answer to that, or Harry's answer to that, would be, hey, if you look at paragraph 10 in the trust, it says Mom can take you out as a beneficiary anytime she wants to. So here's the choice. Either I amend Mom's trust and we see if she puts you back in, or you sign this and send it back. And the next day, Federal Express, we got the paperwork back. So you have control.
I think that scene was out of The Godfather, right?
It was not out of The Godfather.
Sounds like The Godfather. Well, that's
Did he have an irrevocable trust?
Well, so I want to concede something, right? It's easier, life is easier and simpler if you don't do the trust. We can all agree on that. But you know what stinks is losing $300,000, for example, because the best we did is save 50 cents of every dollar and your loved one had 600 grand.
Exactly. And give us a call. You could be our second caller of the day at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or toll free 1-800-WROW-590.
So do the trust, all right? Or at least look into it, because I don't want to hear from people that I don't want to lose control. Well, then you do a really good power of attorney, and we make sure that if down the road you need long-term care, we're going to save 50 cents of every dollar. But in my mind, you know, if the trust was a free thing, if we gave out free trusts, Ben, you should have two. Why not?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, they're free. Because there's no downside to them, in my opinion. You still have control, big capital C control on everything.
I always tell everybody it's like a piggy bank. You know, if you have a piggy bank, it's really easy to shove stuff into the top of it, right? You put your money and everything into the top of it. But if you want the money out, it's a little bit more difficult to get it out. So in order to pop the cork on the bottom of the piggy bank, you just have to have everybody kind of agree.
Yep.
And if they don't, then you just take it away from them. You're fired.
That's the key. That's the key. In addition, right, our trusts, just like any of our trusts, are going to help you avoid probate. And probate Yes. can be an absolute mess. I don't know what's going on, if there's something in the water these days, but we've had some fantastically awful estate administrations. And, you know, when we have a large amount of estates that we administer. A lot of them are like from 2015, Debbie, 2016. Yeah. That's 3-4 years old.
They have issues. I mean, there's heirs that we can't find. There's heirs that we found that are not nice people. there's a lot of things, and it's not as easy as you think it would be to distribute assets. So these assets are kind of like sitting there. And if you can't get somebody appointed under the will because you can't find heirs or people won't sign off, especially if, say, it's a brokerage account with the volatility of the market here lately, things could have gone up, down, sideways. You know, there's people that have lost quite a bit of money in estates just because they couldn't get in to do whatever they needed to do with the assets.
You know, when it comes to wills, right? We just mentioned how there's a lot of misconception with these irrevocable trusts. How many times has someone said to you, well, I'm not going to go through probate, I have a will?
At least once a day.
Exactly.
At least.
And so wills say where your stuff's going to go. That's really important. Fantastic. But unfortunately, the words in the will won't mean anything until it goes through court through something called probate, so the court can recognize it to be, in fact, your last will and testament. That process costs money. There's filing fees. There's attorney's fees. That process costs time, 7 to 9 months minimum. So if we have real estate, right, we might lose out on a seller's market because we're waiting for someone to be authorized to actually deed something on behalf of the estate. Debbie, do you have any interesting estates going on these days?
Oh, you don't even want to go there. Well, you have a very interesting estate. The one about the child, whether it's adopted or not.
I do. So, may I?
Yes,
you're not going to be upset?
Nope, go ahead.
Thank you. So, under law, right, there's a difference between a child of yours and a stepchild of yours. There's a difference between children you've adopted and children you've not adopted. And whether or not the relationship you have with your spouse included him or her coming into the marriage with a one-year-old, let's say,
who you
consider to be your child through and through, well, under the law, they are actually not your child, even though you treat them like it, and even though you may want to provide for them like they're your child. They are literally not your child. And so when it comes to the probate process and who needs to be notified about the will and the probating of the will, who has a right to contest the will, that person, that stepchild that has not been adopted has zero rights. Okay. When it comes to your documents, right? Your documents sometimes will use the word issue. An issue means your blood relatives, right? Your children and your children's children. Does not include stepchildren. Okay. Now, it does include adopted children. You can be adopted in or adopted out. So, you know, just like you really want to use an attorney when it comes to some estate planning that's in-depth or with the powers of attorney, because we don't want some power of attorney that doesn't have certain powers. When you prepare your wills, right, this isn't let's go online and create a will where you say everything to my kids, because it's important who your kids actually are and by law who they actually are. So you got to be really careful with the wording that you use. And in this instance, you know, and in every estate administration we're doing, guess who we can't ask about what they meant?
The person, because they're gone.
Yeah. So all we are left with is relying on notes, relying on what we think they may have wanted. Well, on this life insurance policy, they only named one kid. On that policy, they did something else. So what do we think they meant with the will? It's we're kind of stuck with the four corners of the document and the words on the page. So we never want you to be in that situation. You know, our job, you know, fundamental job, estate planner, is making sure whoever you want to get your stuff gets your stuff. It's not that difficult. So if you want things to go to your children, and you meant your children, then it's not going to your stepchild.
Right.
If you meant it to go to your stepchild, you got to say so.
That's
so
true.
It leads to all sorts of messes. And that's why you really, I mean, obviously this is self-serving. You really need a professional to do your estate plan.
Well, Harry has one right now where the children were adopted out. So if you have a child, say you had a child and they were adopted by another family, they're not your children anymore.
Yeah.
They do not take. So if you, in your will, said, I leave all my money to my issue, right, even if you still have a relationship with those kids that were adopted out, they're not your issue anymore.
Yeah. And, you know, ideally we avoid probate altogether so you don't have to deal with it at all, right? That would be great.
Right. That would be the best thing to do.
But the wording in your trust is going to matter as well, right? You can have the word issue in your trust as well. So you really want to be careful on it. And, you know, it's important when we meet with you, you fill out this questionnaire. We expect you to put child when they're your actual child.
Well, I do like his and hers too on second marriages. I always try to figure out who's, because sometimes, you know, you have the yours, mine, and ours. This one is from my prior marriage. This one's from your prior marriage. And then we have one child together. So we have to make sure that things are worded correctly so that if, again, going back to what you were saying, a lot of times we'll put language in there that says, for the purposes of this document, my husband's children shall be treated as my issue.
Yep.
So you have to be careful, because we kind of do the Brady Bunch scenario. It's like, if you don't specifically include their children, then they're not your children.
Speaking of the Brady Bunch and adoption, I did my research on it because I did a little article on TV lessons in estate planning. And so it looks like Mr. Brady had adopted the girls, but it wasn't clear whether Carol had adopted all the boys. I don't know if you have any opinion on that, Ben.
I don't. It's just interesting to think that one would adopt and the other wouldn't.
Well, yeah. They became Bradys.
Right.
You know, but it's unclear. And also, you know, there was issues with whether the Carol's husband had died or not. He was a... Anyway.
Yeah, you did all this research on it. You know, that's...
Well, you know, one more lesson from that show, though. I spent way too much time with Alice, right?
And, I was just going to say, yeah, you're going to talk about Alice.
Absolutely.
And Sam.
Well, so they got married in a spinoff special or something like that. But during the show, they're not married.
Right? No, they're not.
They're you know, main squeezes or whatever. And if, God forbid, something happened to one of them, you know, we talk about how a stepchild has no rights. So does not. So does not a boyfriend, a girlfriend, right?
Correct. Even if you're living
your
together.
Your life partner, you just have never tied the knot. And marriage has a lot of legal ramifications in New York and federally, right? To be married, right? The tax deductions that may come with it, but also the inheritance rights. And so, you know, if you're out there and you're saying, well, you know, this is a second relationship and or a first relationship, we're just not going to get married.
Right.
But, you know, we're like we're married. We fight like we're married. We complain like we're married, right? Everything's the same. Well, you know what? When you're not here anymore,
you're
it
not
matters.
Married.
it really matters, though. It really matters what that distinction is.
Well, even healthcare decisions.
Absolutely.
They're going to look to your next of kin. They're not going to look to your boyfriend or girlfriend to make your decisions. We have a caller. We have Sue from Boston Spa. Good morning, Sue.
Hey, Sue.
Good morning. You're touting the irrevocable trust. What is the advantage of a revocable trust over a will?
Okay, very good question. So revocable trusts are typically where you will be your own trustee, but what makes it revocable is you, Sue, as the creator of the trust, have the ability to undo it and take a whole lot of money out of it whenever you and only your signature feel like it. So that's really the only difference between revocable and irrevocable. But your question deals with the difference between wills and revocable trusts. So let's say you have a house and all you have is a will, okay? One day when you're not here anymore, your will say everything goes to Dave, Debbie, and Ben. Thank you very much, by the way.
That was nice.
Yeah, very nice of you. And your will need to go through the probate process, right? And that costs unnecessary dollars in attorney's fees and court filing fees and delays in getting your estate administered. If you instead had done a revocable trust and put your house into that revocable trust, which we would help you do, and your trust said, I give everything to Ben, Debbie, and Dave. Again, thank you. That's too nice of you. We're just, you know, we just met. When you pass away, technically you did not own that house anymore. Your trust did. And your trust will survive you for a short period of time. So we will not need to go through probate. I won't need to take your will to surrogate's court. We won't need to do the filing fees in surrogate's court. The attorney's involvement will be far, far less. And what will happen is your trust's backup trustee will simply deed the house to the three of us or whatever your documents would say. So primarily revocable trusts are used to avoid probate, or when Debbie's talking about some of these more complicated family trees, we'll use revocable trusts to maybe lock in her kids or my kids, because the fact is if you just have wills, you could always change your will and completely change an estate plan. So revocable trusts typically more involve family trees and definitely avoiding probate. Typically, we will recommend people do this Medicaid trust because you still control things, capital C control, while avoiding probate and protecting assets and all that stuff.
Good. Thank you. Do you handle just a plain trust?
We do. We do the plain trusts. We do basic estate plans. We do different kinds of trusts. That's why we offer a free consult when people come in. We sit down and look at everything because you may or may not need a trust, depending on what your assets are.
Good answer. good for me, anyway. Thank you.
We'd be happy to meet with you. Just give us a call.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. The phone number at the office, if you want to call in and make an appointment for a free consult, is 518-465-7581. That's 518-465-7581. Stacy is at extension 126. She can put time on any of our calendars. And another reason to do a revocable trust is if you have property out of state. For all of our snowbirds that just came back,
mm-hmm.
if you've got a house in New York and then you've got a house in Florida and you're using a will and you pass away, they not only have to probate your will in New York, but then we have to probate your will in Florida. So it's really costly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, our challenge on Saturdays, Debbie, is to, even at our seminars, is to talk about these different options. And our goal is not for anyone to come away thinking that they need a revocable trust or an irrevocable trust. I mean, that's impossible to do. We don't know anything about your finances or your family tree or anything. Our goal is to inform just enough, but to really have you guys come in, because that's the only way we can 100% for sure come up with a plan that works for your family. You know, revocable may make sense. It may make sense to just do the Medicaid, because one day we know you're going to keep getting older every day. That might be the right move. You know what? My finances aren't very complicated. I'll do something called the life estate deed, and everything else has beneficiaries, so I'm already going to avoid probate. Everyone is different. Every fact pattern is different. Every family tree is different.
Definitely. And as far as deeding property with a reserved life estate, in some instances that makes sense as opposed to a trust. But a lot of them it doesn't, because once you deed that property to somebody, even if you've got a reserved life estate, that's where you're losing control. Yeah. There's definitely a loss of control there, because you can't sell the house unless the person that you deeded it to wants to sell the house. And if you decide to sell the house before you pass away, you're going to end up with some capital gains issues for the person you have transferred it to. So the trust just kind of is the thing that makes the most sense as far as transfers, as far as taxes. It just makes more sense.
Debbie, I want to ask a question of you. So we have lots of clients who have grandchildren who are not just 2 years old, but are entering college or in college or post-college. Do you find that your clients want to give to their grandchildren certain amounts of money, or do you find that they instead want to just give to their kids and let their kids worry about the grandkids?
It depends. A lot of times we'll do a carve out. So what we'll say is, I leave $10,000 to each of my grandkids, and then I leave everything else to my kids. And then we put language in the document that says, hey, if my grandkids aren't 25 years old, then it's held in trust for them till they're 25. Because if you've got a range of children that are still having babies, as opposed to the ones that have adult children, you don't want a 18-year-old to get a hold of a nice chunk of change, because unfortunately, 18-year-olds are not very good with money.
I don't know. They're adults. What do you mean, Debbie? They're legal adults. How can they possibly be bad with money?
I remember when my son Zach went to college, his first friend there had just won a lawsuit. There was an accident on a paintball field, and he ended up with an issue, and he ended up here, and he got a lot of money. And he was everyone's favorite friend on the college campus, because he had a car and he had money and everything like that. And he blew through it his first year at college. He blew through the entire amount.
And what a year it was.
But guess what? Then he didn't have money for tuition the second year.
Yeah. So how does, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking about giving to grandkids, right, you may actually be hurting them. Not just, I mean, they might be the most responsible person in the world, but you may adversely affect their financial aid as well, right?
Right, exactly. And financial aid is huge. And if they have access to the money, then they have to report it on the financial aid form. Whereas if it was in a trust for their benefit and they don't get it till 25, they have no control over that money. Therefore, they don't have to include it in their financial aid application.
Very good. We do have seminars. I do want to, while we have a couple minutes here, go through them again, just in case you missed them. So this Thursday, March 21st, we're going to be at the Glenn Sanders Mansion for a very special seminar on aging in place. Kim Hance will be there as well, and will be detailing how to qualify for
care on your couch.
Care on your couch. How to preserve income while you're getting said care on said couch, as well as your different care options and the different programs within the community Medicaid program. The following week in Kingston, March 28th at 2 p.m., that's a Thursday, we'll be at the Courtyard by Marriott right next to the mall, 500 Franks Hotel Boulevard, talking about wills versus trusts, why you may need one, why you may need the other, why it may be time to update or upgrade whatever you have. And then in April, the week of April 8th, we're going to be doing our Soup to Nuts General Seminar starting Tuesday, April 9th at 6:30 p.m., Saratoga Springs, that's the Courtyard by Marriott, wonderful hotel. Wednesday, April 10th at 2 p.m., we'll be at the brand new Courtyard by Marriott on the water in Troy. That's 515 River Street in Troy. Thursday, the 11th, 10 a.m. at Glen Sanders, 6:30 p.m. at the Courtyard by Marriott right next to SUNY on Washington Avenue. Any of these seminars are really great opportunities to meet Debbie or myself or Jane Marie or Harry, get some more information, and figure out whether it's worthwhile to come in for a consultation. The cookies are great, etc.
Cookies are good.
They're good cookies.
Cookies and coffee. You know? Absolutely. What more could you ask for?
Exactly. You know, we find that we're able to reach a lot of people, and it's always good to see existing clients at our seminars. So if you're an existing client and you haven't been in a while, we'd love to have you at the seminars as a little freshen up your knowledge.
Right. And so give Stacy a call at 518-465-7581. That's 518-465-7581. She's at extension 126. She can book you in one of the seminars or make an appointment. Have a great weekend. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.